You'll figure that out in a minute. John chapter 1. Don't look around. You look around, you're going to frown. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of John. I think this is lesson number 12. We'll be a little bit doctrinal, but I think we'll be brief today. You'll learn something from the Bible. If you care, unfortunately, many don't care. They never earnestly contend for the faith, but that's okay. We read last week about Jesus coming in verse 9. The Bible says that was the true light, speaking of Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Last week we preached on he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father, we thank you again for your word today. Thank you that, Lord, in a dark world with no hope, that is just confused and running and scared and dying, that we have a God in heaven that is the rock of our salvation. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, Lord, just incomplete without the God of heaven reigning in their heart, I pray today that your Spirit would reveal to them the simplicity in Jesus, the simplicity of having sins forgiven and a future home in heaven, the simplicity of knowing that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to zero in on but to as many. And if you don't have any idea what I'm referring to here, that's okay. As many, in spite of the late theologian John Calvin wresting the scriptures to try to prove that God chooses some to be saved and some to be damned, even before they're born, and that's called the doctrine of Calvinism. In spite of that, the God of the New Testament is an as many God when it comes to the saving of the soul, forgiveness of sin, and a future home in heaven. The Bible says in Jesus' day that as many as touched him were made whole. Bible said, go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Underlying in the New Testament is the fact that God would give an open invitation to whosoever will to become part of his bride, to one day marry Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all, but it sure sounds better than this sin-sick sewer of a world, to live in his presence forever in a city of gold, sinless.
That's good, preacher.
Yes, sir. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to read my name in whosoever. Whosoever drinketh of the water. Here's what he told a woman. He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall never thirst. You know who he said that to? It wasn't the Virgin Mary. It was a girl with a reputation. I won't use this term we used to use in the pulpit here, but she was a dirty girl. You know what there is in God's whosoever's? There's diversity. That's the big word today. In the whosoever's are dirty girls and clean girls. You've got fishermen, you've got taxmen, you've got maniacs, and you've got physicians, all under the umbrella of whosoever will may come. And I'm glad for that today. All of those whosoever's whose sins were bought and paid for, the Bible says he died for our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world, all falling under the heading of to as many. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, rich, poor, no discrimination in his whosoever. worldly kids, church kids, and worldly church kids. You want forgiveness of sins. You want eternal life. You want to live forever. Come on in. The water's just fine. And I'm not talking about the baptismal water. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the living water. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. COVID can't get me. And for you that may not understand, I'm talking about physically. We got an ever, never dying soul. This is just a shell. In fact, you'd be amazed what I had to do this morning just to even make it respectable to come in anybody's presence. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes is nothing but a blip on the radar of eternal life. Because Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Blacks in the ghetto, whites on Capitol Hill, browns on the street of Calcutta, yellows on the streets of Beijing, red, brown, yellow, black and white, the little kids sing, they're all precious in his sight. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call. I put my name in there. Whosoever, May 17th, 1986, whosoever called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name was Joe Camilleri, and he got saved. Now, we take it for granted. But there is a group of confused theologians who would have you to believe that for you to believe is kind of a work, and we're not saved by works. And for you to believe would be kin of doing something to earn your salvation. And we know certainly we don't do anything to earn our salvation, thus concluding that God fixes the game before it starts. In fact, before the world began, he fixed the whole thing. Who in the church age was going to be saved and who wasn't? And here's what they say. Long ago and far away, before God even created the world, he looked into the future. And he saw everyone that would be born. And here's what he said, because he's so powerful and so sovereign. He said, I'll save that one, and I'll damn that one. And I'll save that one, and I'll damn that one. I'll predestine this little baby boy to eternal life and forgiveness of sins with me. And I'll predestine his little baby sister to fire, hell, damnation. And I'll tell you, a God that would even think like that is nothing but diabolical, in my opinion. And that's not what really bothers me the most about that doctrine, that false doctrine. But you know what it does? It gives excuses to the non-elect. I'm lost. I love darkness rather than light. I don't believe. I couldn't get saved if I wanted to. I'm not one of the elect. That's what I'd say if I was lost and someone came to me with the gospel. I'm not elect. So today's lesson is for you that care, for you that just want to thank God that whosoever will may come. Because the fact is that somebody in the New Testament is elected. You can't doubt it. Somebody in the New Testament is chosen. Someone in the New Testament is predestined. And there's no way that we could cover it all. It would take months, so I'm going to give you the super short version. Because there is a group that says, God fixed the game. You have no choice in the matter before it all started. And there's another group that says, whosoever will may come. I'm of the latter. But here's what I've seen for 36 years in this thing. A whosoever will guy like me comes along and says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And the reformed election guy barks back, oh yeah, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And the free will guy says, oh yeah, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The guy says, yeah, I know that, but in whom we have obtained inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him. Oh, yeah, but God is not willing that any should perish. Oh, yes, he's not willing that any of the elect should perish. Because as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Are you getting confused yet? You're not going to be by the time we're done. It's said in there, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Oh yeah, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they pit Scripture against Scripture, and just think, whoever shouts the loudest or gets the most passages wins. Listen, we must reconcile Scripture with Scripture. So today, with some common text, I want to show you how to scripturally reconcile the fact that God, in fact, predestines, elects, chooses some people to eternal life and some people to eternal damnation, while at the same time, whosoever will may come. But first, I want to show you something. I want to take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. When we speak about the elect, we often forget about this one elect. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. There's some different elect in the Bible, Old Testament Israel, etc. But this is what some forget, and this really is going to help you today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You know who we're talking about? Who are we talking about there? We're talking about Jesus. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 4 again. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Now verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect. Who's elect in that passage? Jesus is elect. Everybody say it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is elect. Elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So we've determined that Jesus is chosen and Jesus is elect. So before I try to figure out who among men is elect, I want to rest in the fact that I know Jesus is elect. Now, 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, that means purchased. He purchased sinners with his own blood, with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation. Boy, I read my old religion that I came out of in this passage when I read it. By the tradition from your fathers. But how? How are you redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, watch, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So before I try to figure out who of men is elect, who of men is chosen, who of men is foreordained, I must come to the scriptural fact that nobody would argue with. Jesus Christ is elect, Jesus Christ is chosen, Jesus Christ is foreordained. Now I got to figure out how to reconcile this. And here's how I do it. If I could just, by my own free will, choose the chosen one and somehow get into him, wouldn't that make me elect? Wouldn't that make me chosen? If Jesus, I hate to be irreverent, but I'm slow. If Jesus was the sleeping bag is chosen, it's foreordained, it's elect from the foundation of the world. Right? We just saw election, we just saw predestination, we just saw foreordination. But if I could just get in that sleeping bag, now we got free will too. It's called reconciliation. I'm not screaming louder. I'm not denying the other passage. Of course there's foreordination. Of course there's predestination. Of course there's election. Now, we're going to go to Romans 9, and this is really, really fun. Romans 9.
And the context of Romans 9 is crucial because this is the bedrock for the folks that believe God fixed the game before it started. The context and the conclusion is monumental because there's not a Calvinist on the planet that gets it. And I say that in Jesus' name and love. Here's the point Paul is trying to make. There's some Jews at Rome. And I'll tell you, these Jews, since the time of Abraham, they were God's people. They were chosen. They were elect. Everybody else was dogs. Paul comes along and says, Peter came along and said, we were preaching these Gentiles, and they got the like gift even as we. They're believing. And there's a bunch of Jews there that said, whoa. They cannot be in this thing. And here's Paul's argument. Don't tell God who he chooses and who he doesn't choose. Don't tell God who he elects and who he doesn't elect. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to give Old Testament examples of individuals who God chose and didn't choose, who God loved and didn't love, and who God ordained and didn't ordain. And then he's going to say, and then I'm going to show you a conclusion. So let's look at the passages now. How many groups of people are in the world? Three. What's the first one? Jew. Now, according to the Bible now. If you're a white supremacist, you're out of luck. In fact, if you're a white supremacist, you're in the same boat with every African and Mexican and Asian. Because there's only two groups of people in God's eyes. The children of Abraham by faith. That's everyone in the lineage of Abraham, which is probably hardly anyone in this room that even has a speck of that. Then there's the Gentile. That's everyone else. And then there's the church. Those Jew and Gentile from both groups that have believed by faith and are in the body of Christ. So here's what I'm going to prove in Romans chapter 9. God will save who he wants when he wants. He will elect who he wants when he wants. And he will love and hate who he wants when he wants. And that's what Paul is facing. Okay, so let's start in verse 11. And he's proven a point. Don't you tell God who he's going to love and who he's going to elect. No, let's look at the examples. Verse 11. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even as our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God said, before these two were even born, God chose who he was going to call. Ready? It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, watch, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, if you've never heard of God hating, you've never read the Bible. We'll change that for another day. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Watch verse 15. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And our dear Calvinistic brethren would say, see? He loves who he wants. He hates who he wants. He shows mercy on who he wants. And that's undeniable. Verse 18. Again, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Verse 19, he's going to talk about what went on in Egypt, how he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest again God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this? This isn't fair. Hath not the potter power over the clay and the same lump to make one vessel to honor, another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now watch. I want you to go down to verse 24. This is the conclusion of God loves who he loves
and hates who he hates and will elect who he elects. Verse 24, even us, whom God hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As you see in Osi, they were not my people, which are my people. Listen, God is using individuals in the Old Testament to show where God elected, where he didn't, where he foreordained, where he didn't, where he showed wrath, where he showed mercy, to picture his New Testament groups, Jew, Gentile, church. And his conclusion is this in the New Testament. It's no longer just Jew. God has now chosen Jew and Gentile, both groups. Now watch. Verse 30. What shall we say then? Here comes our conclusion. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, not attained to righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. The argument for Romans 9 is not lessening who can be saved. It's advancing, it's broadening, it's widening who can be saved. And after Jew and after Gentile, there is no one else. This is not a support of God fixed the game before it started. These passages are a support. Whosoever will may come. You're a Jew, you can come. You're a Gentile, you can come. You're bond, you can come. You're free, you can come. You're male, you can come. You're female, you can come. You're dirty, you can come. You're clean, you can come. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sign him up. Somebody, you woke somebody up back there, son. So here we are, pre-creation, before God ever says, let there be light. And I want to give you the simple sleeping bag illustration. God looks down through the portals of time. He looks into the future. He sees man's sin. He's a just God, so there must be a penalty for sin. There must be a punishment. And in his mercy, he makes a plan. And he says, and we're not going to get into the deity and the Trinity and all that mystery stuff. It's too much, but just for simplicity, I'm going to elect my son. I'm going to make a plan. And I'm going to use my son to be the chief cornerstone of the church. I'm going to ordain him now before I even say, let there be light, for a future purpose. I'm going to predestine him now before I ever say, let us make man in our image, for a future purpose. And when that day comes, which is today, anybody and everybody, by grace, through faith, can believe in him for payment for their sin. And everybody who doesn't will be damned. Now, let's get Caleb. You did so good today. Come up here again, would you? Here's the elect. Come on, Sonny. I know you've been camping. If you're like Jason Lodish, come on, get right in there. You like to camp at the Holiday Inn. Go ahead, lay right back. I even got the one with the pillow on it. Got it out of the barn this morning. I shook it out. Oh. Look, just tuck down a little bit more if you can. Okay? Okay, so that's elect. That's chosen. That's royal. That's foreordained. Before the foundation of the world. And he gets in by his own free will. I've just fulfilled predestination. I've just fulfilled election. I've just fulfilled foreordination. And I've just fulfilled whosoever will may come. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He said, my spirit will take them and he will put, the spirit will put me into Jesus Christ. I will be in him and he will be in me. And they'll become part of my son's body. So that even living on earth, you okay? Don't go to sleep. Listen, even living on earth, I will be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Because this is the body of my son. Now, that's a great mystery. But watch what happens. Ephesians 4, 2 Timothy 2. Ephesians 4, 2 Timothy 2. You understanding it? Okay, one, it's good. Where's my little amen guy back there? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30, whereby ye are sealed. Now, I'm not going to lock them in there. Sealed. In Christ. Now watch this, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I told your grandfather to turn the cooling down because I knew you'd be in a sleeping bag. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What is this once saved, always saved thing? What is this eternal security thing? You people believe you can just yada, yada, yada and still be saved? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we believe, he's speaking of him, believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. For him to, I'm a member of his body and of his bones. I don't understand it, it's a mystery, but for him to cut me off for whatever reason would be to cut himself off. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and it's going to help you to reconcile. And we're finished. It's not a trick question, so think. In this economy, in this format that we just showed you, is God predestinating or choosing who goes to heaven before the foundation of the world? How many would say, yes, he is? How many would say, no, he isn't? How many would say, I should have went to Bob Bredo's church this morning? He's absolutely saying it. Whosoever will. So is he in the same breath saying, whosoever won't? Is he in effect predestinating some to hell? Yes. Don't be afraid. But how is it decided? Free will. Predestination, free will. It's as simple as ABC. So it's predestined before the foundation of the world. You get in the select, you get in the chosen, and you get eternal life. How do you get in? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will may come. As many as received him. Now watch, a couple more questions. Has God in this sense overridden anyone's free will? Has God made someone get saved or made someone not? Absolutely not. Has anyone in this economy overridden God's sovereignty? No, because he made the rules. Now go to Ephesians 1. I said we were done, sorry. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Now we're going to read the verses that are the flagship verses, and I want you to read them in light of what we just learned. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us, where? When? I want you to notice he didn't choose us to get in him. And the reason I know that he didn't choose us to get in him was because that would mean we would be already in him before the foundation of the world. And I know from a fact from the New Testament, I'm not in him as a lost man. In fact, I'm an alien. So that means I would have had to been in, and then somehow I would have had to got out, and then I would have had to get in again. No, he's chosen us in him, present tense, before the foundation of the world. Total sovereignty, total election, total choosing, total foreordination, total free will. Ephesians 3. No, 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Whosoever will may come. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, watch, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. And you know what he calls this whole concept in Romans chapter 11, verse 5? The election of grace. It's called being in Christ. Make the title of this sermon, I've Chosen Election. I want to ask you, have you chosen to be chosen? Michaela just did. Because if you've not chosen to be chosen, this is heavy now. You've got to be a theologian to understand this. You won't be chosen. And you won't put it on God. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You know what the New Testament says? Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. I promise that's it. 1 Peter 2:9. You know what the New Testament epistles are all about? You okay? Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hey, man, you're in the bag. You're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, look at him, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's chosen, he's elected, he's present, he's royal. Why are you acting like that? Let's stand. Thank you, sir. You get more candy. I've chosen election. I've chosen to be one of the chosen. Perfect reconciliation. Isn't the Bible wonderful?